This is Fantasy Football Friday with Ty Richardson.
Welcome back into Fantasy Football Friday. I'm your host, Ty Richardson. Pleased to be joined by a former co-host of mine out of Nashville, Zachariah Williams, known as Zach by many of his friends, co-workers, and whatever. Zach, I'll start there, man. When you're in the real world, when you're addressing people, when you talk to different clients, prospective clients, bosses, and does everyone call you Zach, or does anyone address you as Zachariah these days?
You know, I still get Zachariah. Just if they don't actually know me. So if you know me, like you know me, like we talked before off air, right, that you call me Zach and everything. But it's really weird because I put everything on social media as Zachariah. Even my Twitter is at Zachariah W. But it's like when someone calls me Zachariah, it's like I'm hearing my mom yell at me. That's the only person that ever still called me Zachariah. It's when I'm getting in trouble when I was a kid. But then some people still mention me as Zachariah. It's really strange to hear people call me Zachariah. But yeah, you know, Zach is good. Anybody wants to call me Zach or hey you, you know, whatever it is.
Hey you, yeah. So a little background on Zach and I's relationship. When I worked in Nashville for Nashville Sports Radio, we did a fantasy football show together called Fantasy Rescue, a college basketball show called Forever March, and then Hoops Now, an NBA show. So we really did a lot together, had a good time working with him in Nashville. We've developed a friendship through that. Zach, I'm not necessarily as in-depth in fantasy as I was when I was working in Nashville because that was my job, but I do a podcast weekly, and the slate this season for my fantasy team, I hope it's a lot better than what it turned out last season, considering I had to dress up as Harley Quinn and go to the Dallas Comic Con. Have you drafted a couple of your teams yet, and how are they looking for this year?
Hold on, we can't. I forgot about that. We can't skip over the fact that you dressed up as Harley.
You gave me crap about that already. Do we have to?
I guess we redress that.
Go, you say whatever you want to say here. I'll just sit quietly for a sec.
You know, no, I mean, good for you. Good for you that you actually did it. That's one thing in fantasy football that I hear so much, and I will get back to your question that actually talked about fantasy, but it's good for you that you actually did your Sacco punishment as it is. Because so many leagues, I'm in a ton of leagues, just as it is being in a fantasy, having a fantasy football show, I like to keep multiple leagues. I like to keep multiple eyes on different targets and how game breakdowns and things like that go. And I see in these Sacco, everybody at the beginning say, oh yeah, we need to get a Sacco. We need to get a Sacco punishment. We need to do that. And then, you know, we pick whatever. And this year we picked one that was, it was like buying one of those dumb shirts that was like, you know, I'm a king or something like that, and making somebody wear it every Tuesday of every week, you know, like, and they have to post a photo on social media for it. But I know deep down, once the end of the year happens, nobody's actually going to do the Sacco punishment, whoever it is. And I see them all the time welch out on the Sacco punishment. And then they end up, what we do now is in a lot of the leagues, you get punished for it next season. So you'll have a terrible pick at the beginning of the season if you don't go on your Sacco punishment, but at least you went through it, man. It takes a real man, and there's one thing I know about my buddy Ty. He's a real man that will go out and dress like Harley Quinn at a Comic-Con just because he lost in fantasy football. And also, it takes a real man too to tie up the bootstraps and say, you know what, I'm gonna play fantasy football again after that happens, and hope that you don't end up in last.
So we're discussing before the Packers and Bears game. We're taping this on Thursday. It's going to be released on Friday, the game tonight. And the punishment for this year, I think it's going to be stand-up comedy for 10 to 15 minutes. You got to stand up and have a stand-up routine. All of us are obviously going to be there in our fantasy league. And I think that's going to be great. Is there one that stood out to you as of late where you're thinking about punishment with you and your friends and you and your competitors, Zach? You're like, we got to do this punishment for this season, whoever loses the league.
You know, a lot of them, there's so many good ones now. And it's as we become of age, which I think that one's great. I've never thought of that one, doing a stand-up comedy for 10 for 15, you know. You might be good at that just because you're able to get in the mic, but maybe some of your other friends might petrify themselves getting up in front of a mic. But that's a great one. So I might actually steal that one. But there's so many good ones. But since we're getting older and things like that, you know, in college, it was cool to make somebody, you know, do something crazy and get a tattoo they're going to have for the rest of their life. I've kind of gotten more sage now, as I'm, you know, only 26 now, but still, I almost don't want to do stuff because we got to go to work the next morning. We got, you know, we have a life. Some of these guys have kids, you know, they're going to see it forever. But one we talked about was full hair trimming everywhere, going completely bald, making the Mr. Clean look. So that's one that, you know, some of the guys have been all on. Another one, like I said, is making somebody wear a certain clothing item every one day a week and posting on their social media. That one, I think I like that one a lot, just because it's, you know what, it's not too bad. You just have to wear a shirt that says like "I pooped today" or something like that, and you know it's going to be embarrassing to wear it. But in the grand scheme of things, at least it's not as bad as you know, going out into a road and or dressed like Harley Quinn out in public. You know, these are things that'll last forever.
We're speaking with Zach Williams at Zachariah W on Twitter, hosts of Fantasy Rescue there in Nashville, Tennessee for Nashville Sports Radio. Zach, you mentioned the punishment that awaits your, not team, I would say teammates, but other members of your league if they don't follow through on the Sacco punishment, how that happens. We just kick people out of the leagues. We had signed affidavit, I guess affidavits is the right word you put here, that if you didn't fall through and you lost the league, you weren't just relegated, you were kicked out, and you're not getting added back. That's how serious we take our fantasy football league and how serious that if you don't fall through on the punishment, you're done, baby.
Well, y'all not big on friendships. This is, I don't know, that's hard to do because we're all buddies and everything, so we can't, you know, we don't want to segregate anyone out of the league.
We're buddies too, man. You gotta hold truth to your word,
I like
though, man.
It. Look, I like it. Trust me. We really should. I mean, you know, that we should. That might be something we try to introduce in more of my home leagues and things like that. But, you know, as long as everybody's cool with it and they're cool with, you know, like, all right, if I don't do this, I'm going to be kicked out. I'm not going to be able to play with my friends anymore. Then, you know, good, you know. So if everybody's on board for it, that works. But I think my friends, and if they're listening, some of them have some very soft egos, my man. And they are, they would take it very personally if we did that. So we did actually, now I think about it, last year we did kick somebody out though, because they tanked. They completely tanked the season and they just traded everybody. I mean, you could have got Jalen Samuels for, last year, Ezekiel Elliott last year from this guy, because he was giving his entire team away. And so we had to kick him out for that reason. But no, we haven't kicked anybody out yet for the Sackos.
Based on what you just told me, he deserved to be kicked out of the league. It's one thing if your team sucks. It's another thing to intentionally try and tank your team. So I commend you and the rest of your league mates for doing that. All right, Zach, Antonio Brown, Oakland Raiders wide receiver, eventually going to be Las Vegas Raiders, whenever that eventually happens, whatever. He has been in the headlines all offseason, the helmet stuff, him going back with the GM, Gruden, Hard Knocks hasn't helped alleviate anything. And then there's this Instagram thing, how he's going to be fine. He puts on Instagram and has a few choice words. What do you think that's going to do from a fantasy standpoint on impacting him this season?
You know, when it comes to any player, right, because you can go back a few years ago to Odell Beckham, where he was having his off-the-field things or even on the field where he would punch a kicking net, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I think that kind of stuff is just a part of football nowadays. I think it's just more or less business as usual. Yes, I think Antonio Brown has done it to the nth degree, but I don't think that's going to relegate really whether his fantasy numbers are good or bad because of his off the field stuff. What I think is going to relegate what his worth is going to be is the fact that he's on the Raiders and he has Derek Carr throwing to him. I mean, you look at the change of offensive schemes now. He went from one of the most high-powered offenses with one of the most tenured quarterbacks in Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers to where they can just put anybody in and they score points. That's just what they do. Do I think he has a talent? Absolutely. I don't think that all his talent came from Ben Roethlisberger and just the scheme of that offense. I think he, you know, you see him route running. He's the one out there doing it. He has a certain talent and a work ethic that's going to take it to the next level. But he can run the best routes in the world. If Derek Carr can't put the ball and the money to him, then there's almost, you know, it doesn't matter how great of a route you run. It's just, you have to have the ball to you. And to go off of that as well, that Raiders team, you look at their running back spot, Josh Jacobs out of Alabama, correct? Alabama was taken in the first round by the Raiders just this past draft in Nashville. That they're looking for him already to be the feature back guy, but it's going to be definitely a committee until he gets to that point. So you don't have that consistency in the run game that you do like what the Steelers had. So that takes away a little bit of that offensive presence and really offensive strategy that Antonio Brown thrived in Seattle in Pittsburgh. But let's look at, look at last year too. Amari Cooper, we knew Amari Cooper had talent. He had flashes of games where he would put up, fantasy in a PPR setting, 42 points in a game or even in a non-PPR, but consistently through the season, he was almost, before he was traded to the Cowboys, and I imagine in your league as well, he was on the waiver wire. He was out on the bench. He was a free agent. There was people that weren't playing him because he was just not consistently good. And what happens? He gets traded to a better offense, a better scheme. Somebody that has a running game was Zeke Elliott, and boom, he is a number one solid wide receiver one on any fantasy team. And people were foaming at the mouth. He was setting records in fantasy because he has a talent, he has a skill, but he was just on a bad team. I think Antonio Brown is going to have that same effect. So a lot of people taking Antonio Brown, especially in a PPR league, just because of how many receptions he's had, taking him, top 10 pick, I think has been kind of insane. I don't think he's going to have that same output that he's had. I don't think the drama is going to be the biggest part of it. I think just a new offensive scheme that whole team is just still so young and new. And let's face it, he's getting up there in age. 32 is kind of like the new 28, I guess, if you will, for NFL, just with healing and everything. But Amari Cooper is your biggest litmus test for how Antonio Brown's going to go. When he was a Raider, he had a couple of good games, but other than that, throughout the season, you wouldn't have kept him. You would have kept maybe a wide receiver 30, maybe that deep for Amari Cooper. He wasn't anybody that you would be looking for. He might be in a rough game, a good flex play. But fantasy-wise, Antonio Brown maybe might do a little bit better than maybe wide receiver 30. Might be a top 20 guy, but not. I don't think he's going to be the juggernaut we've seen in the past couple of years.
Speaking of Zach Williams, Fantasy Rescue on Nashville Sports Radio, follow him on Twitter at ZachariahW. Two quarterbacks I have on my roster, Zach. I got Matt Ryan as the first quarterback I selected, and then I wound up with Jared Goff in the later rounds, which I thought was a steal. Now, we know he just got paid. I'm curious to see how Gurley plays this season out after being so off compared to what he was 2 years ago. What do you foresee in Jared Goff's 2019-2020 year? In where he has his weapons, and he looks like he has the potential to be a pretty good fantasy quarterback.
If everybody stays healthy, nothing has changed for that Rams team for the most part. They still have a solid line. They've lost a couple pieces on that front line, but they still have a solid line. They have one of the deepest wide receiver, especially if you're talking fantasy-wise, one of the deepest wide receiver cores in the NFL, correct? You have Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks has been, secretly one of the best wide receivers for the past 5 years, and he's been bouncing around from team to team and still been able to do deep threat balls and all that. And Todd Gurley has that arthritic knee, and problems like that. But he's had that. This isn't a new thing. He had that last year. These injuries were. These are not something that was pressing over the season. Getting to Todd Gurley a little bit, that was one of the more surprising things. I saw his ADP drop so low because he was, these injuries and this plague, and they were worried how the Rams are going to use him. These are the same problems he's had for the past couple of years, even in his when it was rookie year that he injured his knee, and I think he even had problems when he was at Georgia, if I'm correct, with his knee. So this isn't something that's new. So what is everybody freaking out about? Just because a little bit more of the media, as it is we are, tells you, this is something you should look out for. And we saw that. I think that was that shimmy off effect for Todd Gurley. But getting back to Jared Goff, that offense is high powered. Go back to everybody talks about Patty Mahomes, and they say Patrick Mahomes is the guy. Ooh, and he's getting taken. And I've seen some drafts where he's getting taken second pick in the first round. Just absolutely astronomical picks for him. But Jared Goff's right there with him. Jared Goff played a great season last year. Yes, he had less touchdowns, but he had more injuries coming through on his wide receiver rosters and who he was throwing to. But he still put up 4,600 yards last year. He had like 32 touchdowns. He has a high power offense. And if you're talking about an elite tier guy to have on your fantasy roster, Jared Goff is that. And you said you were a little surprised to see him fall so low. in your draft. I've seen that in a lot of drafts, and still in a lot of drafts, in a lot of leagues that I'm in, I still see him as a free agent, which is kind of crazy to me because how consistently he really did play. There was a few games near the end of the season, the latter part, that he dropped off a bit, but that was, once again, it was, you know, you lose Cooper Kupp, that's going to hurt you. Robert Woods was fighting some injuries. Brandon Cooks was fighting some injuries. They were playing, but, you know, they're not getting their number one guys. But when that team is healthy and full going, Jared Goff is a commander of that offense. And I expect him to have I don't think he's going to have the, you know, the Patrick Mahomes 50 touchdown season, but that 32 touchdown, 4,600 yards, I think he sits there and does it again this year. And I mean, he's a top 10 quarterback easily. So if you have, and then also you said he had Matt Ryan as well. So you have two top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL at any given time that you want to play. And especially if they're playing the home games, as Matt Ryan, especially when he plays home games and they're not primetime television, it's a Sunday 12:00 game, then Matt Ryan is one of the best guys to have in fantasy.
Another guy that got paid in the offseason, Michael Thomas down there in New Orleans, one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League. And I was teetering between him and Odell Beckham Jr. And maybe I'm just in awe of what I think is going to happen with the Browns this year. I really enjoy Baker Mayfield. I'm really hoping the Cleveland Browns end up better than a lot of people have them at. So I elect to go with Odell. Now, his injury background scares me a little bit, but I don't like picking guys a lot of times that get fat contracts and are going to their first year of the fat contracts, regardless of the sport, because I think they underperform. Was I in the wrong when I elected to take Odell Beckham Jr. over Michael Thomas, 14th pick of my draft this year, Zach?
14th pick? Is that what you said?
Yeah, 14th.
Is that how far they fell? I'm surprised they fell that far. Well, you're in a non-PPR, so that does make sense to me.
Correct.
But, I don't think you were in the wrong. I think you could, you know, I think it's six one way, half a dozen another. Michael Thomas is the guy, he is the stud on that Saints team. Now, with that being said, I think that does take a little bit away from him being the number one guy. He's going to get doubled up. You look at the rest of those, wide receiver core for, you know, the Saints, Austin Carr, Ted Ginn Jr., Tre'Quan Smith. I mean, these are guys that are deep ball threats maybe, but not so much your everyday wide receiver, first through third down wide receiver. Michael Thomas is going to be that guy. Yes, Alvin Kamara is back there in the passing game as well. But you look over and compare it to Odell Beckham and what he has on that side. I mean, Jarvis Landry is still a number one wide receiver in my mind. He is going to get more targets this year because Odell Beckham is there. But as any defensive scheme, you're going to have to protect for both of those guys. You got to play both of those guys on the time. So you have two number one wide receivers that are going to be guarded. You can't double up one guy. So I think both, it's kind of that Golden State mentality. Even though there's one ball, they still have all these talent, and you have to play all this talent at once. And that's really what the Browns have kind of become. So I think Michael Thomas and Odell Beckham are still going to have kind of the similar numbers. I think OBJ gets a little bit more of a swing in his way because he has a lot more talent out there at the wide receiver spot around him that is going to help take away some of those double ups or some of those, and it's going to leave those things. Odell Beckham, Michael Thomas, if I put one guy in front of each of them, I think they get the same result every time. So they both are great route runners. They both have that quick cut speed. They both can catch. I mean, more than anything, that's the biggest thing that they can do. But I think just because Odell Beckham has more talent around him, he's going to have more opportunities available to him in lax coverage as opposed to Michael Thomas, who might see more double ups and kind of get that Julio Jones effect.
Derrick Henry fell in a lot of drafts this year, and people don't think he will be as good as he was at certain times last season. From just watching him in training camp, hearing what you heard about him just being the fantasy guy, what do you think about him this upcoming season, Zach?
Especially being up here in Nashville, and you know it too because you were here at one point, you know, the Titans talk is just, it is very much black and white. Right. It's very much there is not much areas of gray. You either love Derrick Henry or you hate Derrick Henry. You either think the Titans are going to do it this year or you think the Titans are not going to do it this year. There's not much area of optimism or, you know, there's no gray. There's just no gray in this area. With that being said, I'm a little bit in that gray area. Derrick Henry put on a performance near the latter part of the season. That he was shown to be, he can be the guy. Now, Arthur Smith, now the new offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, is a former tight ends coach for the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, this has been the problem. There's so much to talk about with this situation. This has been the problem for the Titans. They've had a coaching carousel, not only head coach, but also their offensive coordinators and defense coordinators. So there's just been a lot of changing with going on. Now, near the end of the season, Derrick Henry was the guy. But if you go back last season, Deion Lewis was getting majority of the totes, majority of the looks, because they loved, you know, what he did as a Patriot. And they thought, oh, this is a scat back kind of guy that we can use to, like a Dexter McCluster back in the day for the Chiefs, that we can use everywhere on the field, or maybe a Tariq Cohen nowadays for the Bears. And, you know, Deion Lewis just proved he couldn't be that guy. Yeah, he can make a catch in the backfield. He'd make three guys miss, but the problem is he'd still be in the backfield. Derrick Henry would get, maybe 10 carries, 11 carries a game. He would still average about 3 yards a carry, but there were nothing fantasy wise where you could say this guy was worth it. Until the Chargers game for the Titans, when they went to London and played the Chargers. That was when Derrick Henry started seeing more action, and that's kind of where the season changed. And we started seeing Derrick Henry getting what Derrick Henry needs, and that's what he did at Alabama, which is volume. You look at Leonard Fournette as well. Leonard Fournette, if he gets his volume, he gets better the longer the game goes. Derrick Henry is an 18-wheeler. It takes a little bit to start up. It's a little bumpy when you first go in, but once you hit 60 and you're on, the interstate and you're cruising through, that everything widens up a little bit. Everything's hitting harder, and there's not much that's going to take down that 18-wheeler. Derrick Henry's that same way. He needs to sit at about 20 carries a game. If he sits at about 20 carries a game, that's where you see those 15 and up carries. It's where he starts making his money. And as a fantasy side, that's where you see, for fantasy owners, where Derrick Henry becomes relevant. Now, I say all that to say it just depends on if the Titans want to use him that way. If they go back to how they used Deion Lewis last season under Coach Vrabel, then it is, then Henry's not going to be a valuable target. But all the reports being at training camp and all these things that I've seen is that Henry is 100% the guy this season, unless he goes out and just has a flat tire. If he busts out, then, the Titans are kind of scrambling for their person. But Henry's in a weird space as well, where he has so much to live up to for that end of that last season. Because last season, people were already saying trade him. I remember at the trade deadline, there was a rumor that Henry was up to be traded for the Tennessee Titans. So, Titans fans and media alike were saying Henry's not the guy, they need to get rid of him. And then the last half of the season, he was the number one running back in the NFL, and he was taking the league by storm. It was that quick of a transition. So now this season coming out, he has to come out hot, or else a lot of people are going to turn their back on him quick. And as a fantasy side of it, I hate to say it, but Derrick Henry is very much a wait-and-see kind of guy. I don't know if I am confident enough to say Derrick Henry, PPR, non-PPR, let's go ahead and start him, because we just don't know how he's going to be used. He missed the preseason with an injury, which I think a lot of people said, it was a leg injury. I don't think it was as serious as people wanted. They just didn't want him to go out and get the abuse maybe through the preseason. They felt confident enough for him to show up week one and be able to perform. But that's another question mark, especially in the fantasy side, is this guy going to be 100% game ready week one? I don't know. So week one, I'm wanting Derrick Henry on my team, but he's definitely going to be a stash kind of player, at least through the first week, just to see, okay, if he comes out and puts up 120 yards on the ground, he gets 2 touchdowns. Okay, then the Titans are using him correctly. If he comes out and gets, less than 12 carries in a game, then we're back to seeing the Tennessee Titans wanting to try to push the ball around to everybody and not really focusing on one guy. But there's a lot of options now for the Tennessee Titans Mariota has the best receiver core that he's ever had. He's had the most dynamic receiver core that he's ever had. And especially with the running back position, he has a guy that in Derrick Henry, we've seen, can put up huge numbers and carry a game all by himself. So we just have to see if that's how Vrabel and the Titans use him.
Zach, let me top off the interview with this, man. NFL starts this week, and I've already had a week full of college football, and now we get the addition of the pro football with it. do you have any traditions that you do with the kickoff of every NFL season? How do you plan on watching the games this weekend?
Oh, man. You know, traditions-wise, I'm not huge on traditions. I try to, but week one of the NFL, I love my wife, my beautiful wife, Maggie. I love her to death. I tell her week one, I turn my phone off. I turn everything off. And I literally just sit there and watch through, you know, your red zones and all that. I watch through all the channels. I really just get on the couch. Now, one thing food-wise, I know you're a big foodie, so one thing I do with food-wise is I make, I don't even know if they have a name, but growing up it was always called football food is what we called it in my house when I was a kid. But it's like, it's basically nachos, but then all the nacho is on one chip each time. So you make them separately. So you make all your nachos and put it on individual chips, and then you bake it with the cheese and everything like that on top. I make those. I'll make some sausage balls for the morning. Some breakfast rice. If you've ever had breakfast rice, you know what I'm talking about. I make that in the morning. I mean, I get the house smelling like food, and I just sit there and watch the games. That's simply what I do. I'll probably end up tweeting though all about the Titans and everything and fantasy things throughout this year. But yeah, it's definitely just sitting on the couch and just being apart and just glad that this season's back, because this season, not only for you more specifically college football and in Arkansas, college football obviously is king, but high school football and then you have pro. It's just, it's a great time. It gives the weekends more zeist, you know, more feeling, more love. So it's just everybody just needs to soak it in. That's really what I try to do week one, is just soak it in, because when it's gone, it's really sad that it's gone.
I told you last question, real quick. Did you have a fall wedding? I can't remember.
I had a. I did not have a fall wedding. Okay. Me and my wife, we went in May, got married in Alaska. I went all the way up to Alaska to get married.
Okay.
Man.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like fall. It was cold.
I just wanted to make sure, because you're talking about all the great things that happen during fall with the different football events going on. I just wanted to make sure that you weren't one of the guys that allowed a fall a wedding to happen on his watch.
No, I wouldn't do that, but I'll tell you, Ty, I have not my friends. I guess, hold on, I'm already in trouble there.
Maggie's
my
friends?
Wife's friends. Maggie's friends. I have four weddings this October that I have to attend to that we've already had some discussions about. So I, you know, it's going to be tough. There's going to be a couple where I just can't get out of it, but I think I'm weaseling my way out as many as I can. And that's my advice to anybody else, is if you really care about the football season, don't ever have a fall wedding, and don't expect your friends to have a fall wedding. I'm trying to get out of them. So I'm very on the fence already about weddings as it is in the fall time.
My advice to you, Zach, have your wife find more friends or better friends for you, just so it doesn't affect your work schedule. Zach Williams at Zachariah W on Twitter, host of Fantasy Rescue on Nashville Sports Radio. Zach, appreciate the time, man. Good catching up. We'll talk soon, okay?
Absolutely, brother. Anytime you need me, you know I'm here.
For show. For show. I'm getting that for show.
New fantasy football interviews every Friday on HitThatLine.com.